This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Ropes, video on, we're all good. This week brought to you by MyBookie. Use code ROPES. Get up to $1,000 of your deposit matched. We will plug them heavily later, as this is March Madness season. College basketball, best weekend of the year. I dig it. Chris, maybe not so much. Chris,
is that what's going on with the background there?
It's not just
you've been co-opted by the University of Virginia.
I am a University of Virginia alum. I root for them wholeheartedly in March Madness. Yes, this is as if I were doing a press conference after a game. Yes, for those watching on the YouTube, which we just started last week. Chris, feeling a little bit sensitive after some of the comments made. Why?
People say...
I can't believe he has long hair. I can't believe he looks like Seth Rollins. I can't believe Seth Rollins and Jack Evans had a baby. He's a lot weirder than I thought he'd look. I didn't realize what Chris ever looked like. Your big head, Hawkins, is always on screen with Fightful. I didn't realize, but now, see, Chris looks like a matinee idol. He looks pretty. He's shaved people.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but yeah, I was going to say shaved. I got compared to Seth Rollins, and I don't get it. I mean, my laugh, which is a very normal laugh, sounds nothing like, ha, 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 ha. I don't laugh like, ha, 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 ha. I don't laugh like that. You know, it's hurtful. There's a lot of negativity in the video game these days, Hawkins.
Well, we gave you a two-hour Shake Them Ropes, possibly the longest Shake Them Ropes we've ever done. Rob McCarron.
And Hawkins was like, oh, I don't want to go longer than 2 hours on today's episode, and I wanted to go 3 hours. So we need feedback from the listeners.
We need Hot Pockets.
How long does this show need to go? I can do Hot Pockets. I can actually be cooking. I could be doing something else while we talk wrestling. We could discuss how I make my sauces.
Well, Rob McCarron's rolling in his grave because he always wanted to keep the show under an hour. So it's always one of those funny things when we start expanding the show. Yes. By the way, if you'd like to send a nice tweet to @PeacockTV, say, hey, would you like to talk to Jeff about the WWE deal? You can use my candidate number 1-898-9-77. I'd appreciate it. I got the Fightful peeps working on that. So we'll see what happens. This network, not lighting the world on fire, going over to Peacock right now in terms of functionality, but we'll see about that.
I did hear some feedback on my idea about the continuous feed of just wrestling matches that you can go in and out of that are all between, 10 and 20 minutes of length, and a lot of people seem fairly fond of that idea. Something simple, pop it on. When you're done, pop it off. It's just an easy thing to have on in the background.
I have it on my list because I have like a big compendium from different people. Brandon Thurston from WrestleNomics, Meltzer I talked to Sean Ross Sapp, talked to you.
Oh, drop some names here and then slide me in just to completely
I always talk to you,
me.
Though. I mean, it's...
What? Oh, no. Please put me in a further minor league. What am I? I'm in single A ball. You're like, Meltzer, Mr. Major League over here, who I can talk to whatever I want.
I'm just saying I'm going around to various sources to get ideas because I was taking this seriously and trying to do research. I dropped names in there. I admit it. I'm sorry. I did. I don't want to do that, but just to let
I met Meltzer once. I was high out of my mind with Joe Lanza.
Yeah, at Kaiju Big Battle in Dallas. Right?
Yeah, Kaiju Big Battle. When I crashed the VIP section that I definitely did not pay their tickets to.
We may not or may not have a guest next week. We will see how that goes about. But let's get into some
mystery.
Of the news. We're a little light on news, so this will be interesting. But some of the things to talk about are kind of, they're not important, but they're interesting. Charlie Caruso, no longer on WWE television, has been taken off. Apparently, there's some heat on her for our friends at Fightful for being late to interview segments to be done, particularly with Sheamus and Randy Orton. Guess which half of that was complaining. But look, once Charlie Caruso got the ESPN gig, this is the fun money for her right now. This is the go-out-to-eat money for her, to me. And you knew she was always going to have an eye on the Real Sports Network after that, to me. I like Charlie Caruso a lot. I was shocked that they hired a brunette for the job at the time. I think she could have given a lot more than she was able to do. Always good on those panel shows, in my opinion. I thought she was rock solid on those, keeping things flowing. Ironically enough, got her job in WWE after going to, I believe, a 2016 SmackDown taping as the guest of one Tony Khan, vice president, or head honcho over at AEW. So I'd keep an eye out for that.
And now on-screen character after this week's Elevation.
We might be able to talk about that. I find this petty. This reeks of pettiness. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about if it's perpetual lateness. If it's perpetual keeping things up, I could understand that a little more. I'd understand also, on the other hand, I could understand the more negative, cynical version where Vince just wants to put the growing star in her place and let her know who really made her, which is ridiculous. If you've watched any episodes where she hosts First Take, she handles Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman exquisitely. So she's used to dealing with big egos. I think she's going to jump to ESPN and probably be able to have that second gig at AEW with no heat on her. So, happy to have had her around, but any thoughts?
Look, whenever you get a job backstage as the interviewer person. Hey, whatever happened to that British guy? Remember when we did like 10 minutes on the British guy?
Well, the Irish guy you mean from last week?
Yeah, the Irish guy. What happened to him? He was gone a week and a half.
It is said that he was hired to replace Charlie.
Oh. So we just don't have him on screen yet, and we're holding him to the side?
I'm guessing they didn't like how he did week one, so he's going into doing multiple reps before he's brought back on TV to become a lifeless automaton asking, so last week you attacked so-and-so. How do you feel? How do I feel? So, I believe he's probably getting coached up by Michael Cole right now. Like, right now. Like this late at time.
As you and I are talking, as I am speaking words right now, as the viewer is watching this, even if they're watching it at two different times, that's how intense the training is for that poor man.
Yes. Wow. And they're trying to get rid of his accent at the same time, probably, too.
Yeah.
Oh, well, here's something we're going to have fun with, Chris. Here's the fun. Announced as hosts for this year's WrestleMania, co-hosts Titus O'Neil and Hulk Hogan. I will give you the floor first on this one.
I think it's an unbelievably strong pairing. Hulk Hogan is an all-time icon, still has a lot to offer on the mic. I mean, think of all the great Hulk Hogan speaking appearances we've had since the year 2015. And imagine what he's going to bring this year to WrestleMania. Hopefully he can do, I'd like a few minutes maybe on Black Lives Matter and where race is in America generally, coupled with maybe about 5 minutes or so on the pandemic and things that he's learned about the pandemic and how we can better interact with one another. And I think that'd be a really great open to the show. And Titus can be there, of course, the entire time.
Think it's going to be a great healing moment for our country, do you?
Heal, H-E-A-L or H-E-E-L?
Oh, hominids, you have got me again. What a cynical move. What an absolute... Look, I get Titus as a Florida football guy, but they never use him. They never use him for anything
never.
Other than PR
never.
And to send him out as a representative of the community, et cetera, et cetera. And so you
they
match
dropped
him up.
The whole Titus brand thing and they gave it to Robert Stone.
Uh-huh. And
MVP, sort of.
So you match him with Hogan because we're really trying to rehabilitate that image. Still hasn't really apologized or really just supplicated
for himself. Nothing. Yeah,
yeah.
And it's really kind of a head-scratcher why Vince feels the need to rehabilitate Hulk Hogan, because Hulk Hogan as a character doesn't really connect with this generation. I'd argue Hulk Hogan as a character didn't really connect with Generation Z, all of whom are now entering into their late teens at the absolute youngest, or now into their 20s. So Hulk Hogan... he's not going to be this cartoon character in 2020 and beyond. Hulk Hogan's not coming back in the ring. God help us.
One last run, brother.
Well, I still got a few more things to show these young whippersnappers.
Edge
Let
can
me wrestle
do it.
Miz.
I'm better than Edge.
Yeah, I'm better. Well, then they showed Edge getting that moment where he was tag team champions with Hulk Hogan. Because, again, we got to rehabilitate Hulk Hogan. I don't see... obviously, the morality of this is completely warped, which is why I've been, you know, riffing on it and mocking it dryly throughout here. I want to now move to the business side of this, where I don't see the business sense in rehabilitating. Okay, explain to me what's the point of rehabilitating Hulk Hogan from a business side.
What's your demo?
Oh, okay. Vince now thinks, since my demo is the olds, I'm going to bring back Hulk Hogan.
The thing to get people to watch Peacock is to get all those lapsed fans back. And he's the most recognizable, other than The Rock, who may or may not come back. He was
Austin.
Our brand for that.
Austin.
Yeah, Austin. Yeah, Austin.
No,
too.
No. There's no contest here between Hogan and Austin.
I agree.
Austin connects way better with your demo because Austin is now about the same age as your demo, so it's not like looking at your dad. And I'm talking about this from the demo standpoint, the WWE demo of 50 and up. Your aging father who's maybe retrograding some of their views or whatever. Austin is cool, way better on some of his views.
Talking about
most
my father? What? No.
I'm not your father. I mean, hell, you know. Hey, let's put fathers to the side here, real quickly.
Okay.
Austin is way better as a host because he's like a peer, rather than Hogan, who is like a father / grandfather type figure.
Okay, but keep in mind, Vince is 20 years behind everybody else, so in his mind, Hulk Hogan
is a peer.
He's the thing that lapsed fans. Because Austin's still current because he's 20 years behind. So Hogan's the Rosetta Stone of lapsed fandom. And if we could just bring him back, then all those adults who enjoyed him as youths and whatnot will come back with their families and they'll watch this launch of Peacock. And it's going to be very important. Now, for me, if I'm Vince, in a comedic way, I'm hoping he called ASCAP. It said, yeah, see how much that song Ebony and Ivory that the kids love, how much it's going to cost for them to put on. See if we can do a duet on there. Titus, can you sing?
If I'm going down this rabbit hole with you, I hope that Vince called the NAACP and tried to get an award given to him the same way he got like a COVID safety award, like some sort of racial awareness award for pairing
Martin Luther
Hulk Hogan
King
and
Jr. award. You know he's going to want that on his
continuing hosting excellence.
You know, that's interesting. It made me think of something. You remember Titus isn't exactly high on Vince's Vince's love list either because of the whole grabbing incident during that one time.
Grabbing incident. So that's why they've always had this very weird relationship with him ever since, where he gets awarded by like magazines and he gets recognized because he is a really good and decent and awesome guy.
Yeah, what are you doing in wrestling? Make this decent. Get out.
He, you know, outside of wrestling, he does like a lot of like charity work and that sort of thing. But now that you mentioned that, I know exactly what you're talking about, the grabbing incident.
Yeah.
And Vince is exactly the type of person who, even though that was what, like 5 years ago, and we call
even
it an
more,
incident.
I think it was like
it might have been 6 or 7. Yeah. A long time ago. But it is that and sliding under the ring. Going into that battle royal.
That was a fantastic moment, though. That wasn't his fault, necessarily. But continue.
No, but, like, it's those are two moments where Vince never looks at you the same.
Yeah.
And never takes you seriously ever again.
Yeah. NXT had a COVID outbreak, which kind of limited their talent for Wednesday, if you notice. I think they only used 9 people total. Triple H, not at the tapings either because of contact tracing. Yeah. It just makes the Mania thing make no sense to me. I don't know.
I don't want to get in.
Get everybody in there and get the shots. You have the money to do that. Just buy a private company and have them come in and inoculate everybody as opposed to going through the state. If you had the money to get yourself made an essential business. You have a big old parking lot where they're doing tracing every time you come in and out of there. You could pay for Johnson & Johnson or Moderna or who's the third one?
Pfizer
to come in, jab all your talent, and you're done with it.
It is really maddening and revealing of this company and this company's leadership, that they put so much effort into getting declared an essential business, politics, riff aside and all that. They put all this effort into it. And then once they get declared an essential business, they really try to do as little as possible in many different fronts to actually act like a business that is on the front lines and that is running at an essential level. If you want to be an essential business, act like one. Get the vaccines. Make sure that everyone's healthy, especially with wrestling, because you are, one, even if you change the wrestling canvas, you're still using a shared general space that's going to have sweat and breathing, lots of breathing. No, I mean, that's important, and you got all this close contact, and then you want to run these big arena shows and stuff, so show that you could do that, and WWE hasn't.
They publicly
and then the other part I wanted to mention, too, is that, like, you do have these changing strains of the virus that are going around, and if the company's doing this poorly right now on this, it makes you wonder how things are going to continue.
You publicly say you're not going to provide the vaccines for your talent while running PSAs about everybody getting vaccinated.
I wonder if doing those PSAs was mandatory. There'd be something very perverse.
Ray, get in
here.
Yeah,
Ray. Can I maybe get a vaccine shot? No.
Do that
on your own time. I want you
get
to
get your
encourage
own insurance
everyone.
And handle your own thing. But they're free. Still not going to provide
them. Read this copy. Take the shot. Get the shot. Take the shot.
Take the shot. Get the shot. You know, hey.
Can I get the shot? No, Ray. We have work to do.
Hey, Vince, I'm at television all day. From 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. By the time I get out of here, none of the clinics are open. None of the places are open. Could you maybe, because I'm spending so much time here at work in closed quarters with my fellow people, and we're so concerned, could you possibly get some people down here to stick us with needles? No.
That's the thing that's so frustrating with this company. Is if you want to be open during the pandemic, look, I get how businesses want to do that. But if you want to do that, you have to take all the additional steps necessary to run safely.
No,
otherwise,
no.
You're a dick.
publicly, we're going to say, get inoculated, get your shots, all that stuff. Privately, we're going to say, you're on your own, kids.
Yes. Yes. It feels like there's a lot of that going around, too, in addition to the COVID.
That's all I got for news. Not a lot happening in terms of talent and stuff. Although, I will not be watching the NWA's comeback pay-per-view on Saturday. I don't see the point. Oh, Dave Marquez is no longer involved with the NWA. That's a deal breaker for me. I like Dave.
I thought he was cool. He was cool. What's happening on their pay-per-view?
Nick Aldis versus Aaron Stevens for the NWA title. I believe it's Thunder Rosa and... Oh, they're going to kill me for forgetting who she's going against right now. I want to say Ashley Vox, but I don't think that's right.
Is it Serena Deeb?
No. Serena Deeb's injured. So she's out for a bit while the knee was scoped, but they're fighting for the vacant title. Yeah. Look, one of the guys from Wildcard was on AEW Dark. They don't have a lot of people. I'm not that interested in Trevor Murdoch anymore. So, good luck to them.
I'll check back in at some point. I really liked Power. I think the YouTube format was really good, though. I think one of the best things that NWA Power had going for it, a common theme in a lot of what I'm talking about with wrestling, is put it on YouTube. Make it easy for people to watch the show on YouTube, and Power was cool like that.
It's Thunder Rosa against Camille.
Okay.
And I think, cool. I think it's for the vacant title.
That could be legit. I bet you Camille wins it. And
I
it's
do,
like
too.
All the, yeah, yeah.
Time to see what you have with her. Let's do that. And
absolutely.
Thunder Rosa is probably on her way to AEW.
and then that gives you an opportunity to bring Camille into AEW as well, too. And, for people who have not seen Camille, if you like Jade Cargill versus Camille at some point, or Jade Cargill and Camille as a tag team, both of them would make a lot of sense as a feud. Both would be pretty interesting.
Brick crap houses, both of them. Let's talk a little AEW, since that's a good segue.
Do we want to talk about Dynamite Tony Khan on the microphone? Dude, that performance, it was really something.
Just be Jim Crockett Jr., be a non-player character, make your statements, don't cut a promo, and get out of there. That's all he has to do.
He does this like bug eye thing
when
he gets like really into it, and we all have facializations and mannerisms that we can't fully control that we make, but this is a thing that many on-screen performers work on before they ever get on screen, and if you haven't worked on those things and you go on camera and you don't do that a whole lot, sometimes that gets made manifest.
Yeah, I wouldn't, I wouldn't, I'm trying to find a name here. Dennis Wolfberg, if you've never saw him do stand-up, he had the same kind of bug-eye thing going too, but it was part of his act.
I never wanted to do, I can't even do it justice. Like it's...
By the way, if you've never seen Dennis Wolfberg do stand-up, may he rest in peace, go Google him. He's fantastic. I love that dude.
Tony Khan's like facializations and stuff make sense for a heel, but like he basically can't be a face character, and he shouldn't be on screen at all, period. And this whole Matt Sydal, Michael Nakazawa, This was that Elevation show. I got around to watching that because I just needed something to have on the TV show or on the TV. And there's a lot of good wrestling on that show, but the Kenny Omega, Michael Nakazawa, Matt Sydal stuff was more Omega goof.
Yeah. I think Paul White's great on the show. I think he knows his stuff.
I really like Paul White. Yeah. That was actually the big intrigue for me. And that might be enough to get me to watch it again next week. Because I enjoy the Paul and Tony dynamic.
Yeah, we can talk a little bit about Kenny in a second. Let's not bury the lead here. Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker murder death each other, and I loved every second of it. Now, I got in a bit of trouble because I said if Dave Meltzer gives them the full five, then I think he was wrong, or in my opinion, he was wrong about Bailey Sasha Brooklyn, which he only gave 4.75 to. How can you judge somebody's opinion? Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, look, I'm just using his standards. I know he doesn't like death matches and stuff, but this was bloody. This was mean. I don't like thumbtacks because I don't think they make sense in wrestling. They're far, to me, like a CZW type of relic. But yeah, give me some of the ladies getting into. I'm a little still uncomfortable with women showing color, just a little bit. I mean, I'm used to it. I'm used to it more with women's MMA. Don't get me wrong. It's still something that I'm a little kind of like, okay, kind of thing. But this match was great. This was, I mean, Reba's taking a shot through the tail. She'd never do another crutch shot again. But, you know, she was fine for foot. She was, but Britt Baker doing that first dive out onto the hard floor and just, I adored this. Chris, what did you think?
Britt Baker's awesome. She's a total star, and this is a star-making performance for her.
I think she's getting most improved this year, probably in the Wrestling Observer Awards. I was never huge on her, but this one really okay. She's gonna make this division her own.
What's interesting about Britt Baker, if you're gonna give her most improved, I'm not against that. It's just it's hard to really do the timetable here because if you're gonna do the timetable with her, it starts when she gets on commentary and starts beginning to become a heel with Tony Schiavone and starts really finding the foothold on the role model character. Because prior to that, Britt Baker kind of sucked and was sort of pedestrian.
Suck is strong,
but like pedestrian. Very ho-hum. And now, like, who's your tag team partner? Who's Britt Baker's tag team partner? Who's over
on the indies
she's in NXT right now.
Chelsea Green,
right. Prior,
you couldn't tell them apart.
You couldn't tell them apart. Yeah. Right. Now, if you got Britt Baker confused with Chelsea Green, it would seem preposterous. It'd be like you hadn't been watching wrestling for the last 3 years.
I'm glad you brought that up because I feel the same way. It was like, well, we have, because NXT wasn't interested in Britt Baker, and I think they weren't interested because, well, we got Chelsea Green.
Right.
And we have the type already, and they're big into type. So it's, yeah. But yeah, this was really the first time I really enjoyed a Britt Baker match. It's not that I disliked other ones, but this was the first one I was actively, holy crap, you know, she's phenomenal in this.
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of good pieces inside of the AEW women's division, and one of the big problems is that they're not paired together very well sometimes in favor of giving other people minutes who I maybe wouldn't give minutes to.
Christian cut a promo.
Yeah.
And it was half good and half, to me, the wrong path to take for his character. Christian is 47 years old. Christian Cage now, sorry. Somebody's.
I mean, you could still.
Cage. Okay.
You could still just call him Christian. I don't get what, like, you know, we're calling Cody.
I know. I liked the cement my legacy type thing. Why am I here? I'm here to win the title and cement my legacy. That part's great. 47-year-old work rate guy, Christian Cage. That's a tough sell. And it's possibly over-promising and under-delivering, which is my worry here a bit. I have no issue watching Christian do a match. Don't get me wrong. I kind of have issues, just, and this is old school Jeff talking, with work rate promos. There's ways to do it in character. Like the Horseman used to go, we're going to get you in there, and at the 15-minute mark, your tongues are going to be hanging out because, oh, you've been lifting their weight, but we know how to wrestle type thing. There's ways to do it in character. And then there's this, which is just, if you've ever been in the ring with me, you know I'd do a good match.
No, there's serious greatest wrestling match ever energy going on here.
And I like him, but 47-year-old Christian is not 27-year-old Christian who was jumping off of ladders and getting speared and going through tables and getting his body battered by the Dudley boys.
And nor should he be.
Nor,
Christian
yes.
Does, yeah, he doesn't need to be doing any of that, but he is not going to turn in this work rate match.
He's not going to be Kenny Omega. He's not going to be Kenny Omega.
Which makes me think maybe, you know, the swerve here is that when he says out work, he means work in the secondary definition of the word.
I hope not. I want to root for Christian. I don't want him to turn heel and I was tricking you all along type thing.
I know, but I feel like
because it feels like they're doing that with Edge as well. We'll get into that.
Well, I think so. I actually think that they're both odd. I wonder if either company is aware that this is happening. But it appears that they are both on similar trajectories where they come in seeming like heroes, but at some point along the way here, there will be a turning moment.
I hope not. It's too
well,
easy.
You know,
you don't want to root against a 47-year-old legend. That's why people never turned on Flair, even though he turned heel in at that age when he was still, you know, late into WCW.
I think that the AEW title would benefit from having a real heel champion instead of a goof heel champion. So
I would agree.
And
if you wanted to do that with Christian, I would have done that right off the bat. I'm the crazy old guy who's just obsessed with winning a world title because I never got a world title shot really when I was elsewhere. They're doing too much. Like that Don Callis shirt to me was inexcusable on Dynamite. The one about don't slap your leg when you kick or whatever it was. I mean, come on, man. I get it. I know other people like it. For me, keep that stuff to being the elite. But
yes, because if you are just watching Dynamite and like, what if you didn't know about the slapping on the leg thing and you're a young kid? I won't be like, you're killing the business. Oh, that's the Bucks book or whatever. But like, you are needlessly revealing key things inside of the program for jokes to pop the guys in the truck, essentially, and the dudes in the back.
Yeah.
And that's very WCW late era.
That'll put butts in seats. You remember that whole deal? Yeah.
That's very 1998, 1999 WCW.
As soon as you start talking
about
the other guys, it's one of those things where it's like, nah, man, exist in your own world. You're cool. You're confident. You got this. You know, Coke doesn't have to talk about Pepsi. Pepsi has to talk about Coke.
Right. Right. Coke's worried about RC Cola making its comeback.
Look, man, that cherry RC is the bomb diggity.
Hey, RC is undersold, in my opinion.
I agree.
But that, yeah.
I never use the
we
term
stand.
Bomb
we stand.
Diggity. What am I?
I don't stand that.
Guy using that term. I apologize profusely. This would be a good time for an ad break. I'd like to thank our sponsor, MyBookie. March is here and the madness has officially begun. It's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. Select the winners from 63 tournament games in the MyBookie bracket contest for a chance at $10,000 in cash prizes, and it's only $1 to enter. Probably a bit late because the games have already started, but nevertheless, there is betting action to be had. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props, MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie.ag and use promo code ROPES, R-O-P-E-S, to secure a deposit bonus up to $1,000. And make sure you use my promo code so they know I hooked you up. That's promo code ROPES to claim your first deposit bonus. College ball, NBA, NHL, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. I put a few ducats on Virginia. I think they might lose, but nevertheless, bet responsibly.
Do you like them?
I kind of do. Okay. I gave them enough money. MyBookie.ag. I kind of bought their love with a lambskin skin that I have on my or sheepskin on my lambskin condom, I think.
it's got romantic. Some people love their school, dude. It's all right.
Oh, I had nothing else for AEW that I really was pressing on. Do you have anything?
Well, okay, let's I'll run through a little bit more. MJF's new stable, this promo from MJF was very, very strong.
Yes. Yes.
Like, if Sean Spears was not in this group and it was like anyone else, you know, I'm on board. But even the whole double S, the chairman.
I think he could be saved. I think he could be saved.
Him as the enforcer. Him as the enforcer. I've been thinking about it too, where it's like what they need to do is they need to run a big injury angle throughout the entirety of Dynamite where Spears is the catalyst for all of that. But I thought that MJF did a wonderful job here. For whatever issues I have with the Inner Circle, and I think the Inner Circle at the end of all this is going to be very much adrift and still have this problem of like, okay, so now we lost to MJF Stable, because I think that that's what's going to happen. MJF Stable, Pinnacle's going to beat the Inner Circle here. And that's going to be, it's going to be weird as to where the Inner Circle goes, but Pinnacle, I think, will be fine. I like them a lot. Then we had Matt Hardy.
Let me speak on this promo, because I agree with you wholeheartedly, and it was on my mind. And I didn't write notes this week, so it's one of those things where I should have. I ain't Tully setting everybody up. It was pretty darn great, kind of explaining, okay, here's the thing. Here's why I'm involved. Here's how I'm going to be. I hang out with winners. These are my winners. The genius of MJF's promo was he started out with that smart alecky type of thing. And I was like, oh no, here we go. And then he flipped a switch after the ha-ha comedy BS line. And then he went right into the camera and looked into it and started really cutting an angry promo. And I was like, yes, this is the MJF I want. This is the serious MJF bratty heel character that I want now. And I'm here for this. I don't think the Inner Circle has to lose right away, because you have all these individual matches you can have and mix and match. We don't have to go right to War Games or, what is it, Blood and Guts immediately. We can play this out. We can have Sean Spears break Sammy Guevara's arm or something, and I'd be fine with that as an angle, not in reality. But, you know, you have the Proud and Powerful versus FTR thing.
I think that'll be a fun match.
Yeah, you have a lot of different moving parts here that you can mix and match for a good year and a half before we ever do Blood and Guts and get rid of the Inner Circle.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I think that this is the last ride of the Inner Circle, which I'm fine with, is what I'm saying here.
Okay.
And I like that. The one problem I see right now with AEW in this little beat here is this week and next week, not a ton of intrigue. MJF stuff is cool, but like next week we got Pinnacle, so it's going to be FTR with Sean Spears against the Varsity Blondes and Dante Martin. I think we know how that's going to go. We have Kenny Omega and Matt Sydal, which is just absolutely ice cold. And this is the other thing that's so ridiculous about this. So Sydal had, if you didn't watch, what's it called? Elevation Dark?
Is that the name? Dark Elevation, I think.
Dark Elevation. If you didn't watch Dark Elevation, which sounds like a move from Chrono Trigger, if you didn't watch,
it sounds
Dark
like one of those bad Paul W.S. Anderson films with Mila Jovovich fighting monsters.
It's a trio tech in a Final Fantasy game. Like, you guys use Dark Elevation. It has a levitation ability, but it also uses shadow and goes for massive damage. It's great. If you didn't see Dark Elevation, Matt Sydal ends up getting this title shot after he pins Michael Nakazawa. There's a lot of buildup to this goofy match with Nakazawa, who does the entire match where he's got a headset on, which is kind of impressive. The most impressive part of that entire angle. And that's what we're doing to set up this Kenny Omega versus Matt Sydal match, where if Matt Sydal wins this match, then he will get a title shot against Kenny Omega. And, like, Tony Khan decided to insert himself to create not the final beat of this story where Matt Sydal finally gets the title shot, but this second beat of the story. It's very convoluted, and that's what we're getting next week.
We had a lot between Dark, the main roster, NXT, of tag team bickering as a trope, and I am done with it. I am done. Yeah, the Bucks and the Good Brothers, Bear Country, and and the Nightmare Family. Who else was bickering this week on AEW?
Well, Bear Country wasn't. Oh, okay. Well, Bear Country is just bickering. They're bickering with the dinosaur people because they're going to have a match with
Jurassic
the dinosaur
Express,
people.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just because they're going to have a match against them.
The Nightmare Family is bickering. Sasha and Bianca are bickering.
Okay. I want to speak on the Nightmare Family real quick. This QT Marshall thing, it needs to progress because everyone. What?
Oh, does it?
It looks no, because it looks stupid when they stay in this holding pattern, Hawkins. They have been, okay, QT Marshall tossed out the gun guys and gave Dustin Rhodes the finger back at the pay-per-view. He's never explained himself. He's been a dick multiple times since then. And the rest of the Nightmare Family is always like, oh, okay, here comes QT Marshall. It's going to be cool. Maybe he likes us today.
That's cousin QT. He's having a bad day or whatever. It's like, okay, whatever.
Do you still hate us? And he's like, yeah, I do. And they're like, okay, well, maybe tomorrow. It's dumb. It needed to move along. You can't just stay in this area that they've been in.
I love that he comes walking out and this Penta is just staring at him.
And he just like looks at Penta and then everyone else, when he gets in the ring, doesn't confront him on like, wow, you were just like looking Penta down. Why didn't you do anything? And he's just like, I didn't do anything. I chose to do nothing. That's fine. And they're like, well, okay. We wish you had done better. It's so dumb.
I agree. Anything else from AEW?
I think that's it. I think John Silver versus Darby Allin has the potential to be a fun little match next week.
I agree. Yeah, that'll be cool. That'll be fun. We'll see next week. Let's bang out the NXTs. Just
sure.
Because these were some nothing happening shows for the most part. Other than, to me, we'll do UK first. I liked Trent Seven's match. I thought that was a lot of fun. I loved the story. Looking pretty damn svelte. I think I saw abs on Trent Seven, which is something I'd never seen before. God love him, because as a man challenged by weight stuff, relate. I enjoyed that. You know, Ben Carter's reimagining is fine. Whoop guy is back. He's now Whoop guy.
No, but Whoop guy started to have a little bit of a tood. Like when he did the whoops, he did three and he was done with it.
There's no crowd there to whoop back at him, so he can't whoop.
Okay, old Whoop guy would have whooped with Whoop passion, whether there were people there or not, because he believed in the whoop. This Whoop guy,
he believed in the whoop.
He believed in the whoop.
That's the title of this episode. Go ahead.
This guy doesn't. It was a little long. Ben Carter becoming Nathan Fraser. What was funny about this is after they played the promo, they were having the match, and during the match, main commentary guy whose name escapes me right now was reading his bullet points that they give everyone in WWE to read for everything. And he literally reads bullet points that were included in the package that Ben Carter, now Nathan Fraser, said with regards to him becoming Nathan Fraser. And it was like word for word. And it was very funny. It was like, it's like when you nakedly steal someone else's ideas and try to pass them off as your own. It was a very funny moment, inadvertently.
You know what it is? It's like you have that guy in the back of the class, and this is me, who mumbles a good joke, and nobody laughs because nobody hears it, and then somebody ahead of you says the joke, and oh, isn't that funny? Okay, why did Mako Satomura have to have such a long match with Danny Luna to rebuild her?
I know. I thought that was, like, if you don't want to beat Danny Luna, that's fine. I like building Danny Luna. I like Danny Luna. I did not understand Danny Luna going up against Mako Satomura, because they are trying to build Danny Luna, and Mako Satomura would really just benefit from, like, demolishing some people.
Agreed.
Bring out heels. Mako does not need to be going up against baby faces unless you're planning on turning her. And if you are planning on turning her, turn her. Start by turning her. Like, make it clear in this match against Danny Luna, Luna should have been coming out for the handshake or then like, oh, I can't wait to wrestle you. And Mako should have like just like swatted that thing away and like axe kicked Danny Luna and like broke Danny Luna's heart.
Literally, just her heart broken in half.
Yeah. Broke it with the axe kick. Coming down, delivering a blow that strikes so hard from the head down that it stops the heart of Danny Luna. And then Mako Satomura is declared the winner in 1:03. That's how this match should have went.
Chris, let's talk about the longest running angle in NXT UK history right now.
It's Amir Jordan, probably one of the best stories. Yeah.
and Kenny Williams. We got
team of the decade.
We got character development there. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so Amir Jordan went to work on some moves with Kenny Williams this week for their upcoming tag team match, and he really tried to implore Kenny, hey, Kenny, we got to not cheat. And Kenny was like, yeah, we got to not cheat. And Amir Jordan was like, okay. And Kenny half-heartedly agreed to do so, and that was enough to get Amir Jordan on board here. So I think you are right that Amir Jordan is going to join in the cheating with Kenny Williams here ultimately, that they are not breaking up, that this team will stay together and stay strong.
They're going to feud
stay
with
united.
Whoop Guy and Lo-Fi.
Yeah, my boy Lo-Fi.
Your boy Lo-Fi. We'll see. I didn't have a whole lot else. I love Ginny on promos. I could do without Joseph Connor there, though.
You know what, though? Now that I'm thinking about this, I wonder if maybe we are wrong. Because you know who the tag team champions are, right?
In NXT UK right now, the tag team champions are pretty deadly.
Yeah, and they just got belted.
Yes.
So I think Amir Jordan Kenny Williams from winning the titles, and they split, and this split does happen because Amir Jordan chooses to not win the titles, instead to protect his honor or his sense of decency or whatever.
Best to lose honorably.
Yes, to pretty deadly. Two guys who definitely always play it by the book.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They would do the same thing for us.
I guess NXT UK is going to move times in a couple weeks, or is this next? It's April 8th, right? So
yes.
I think that's the WrestleMania week, right? And then that would be the prelude because they're doing the Hall of Fame on Thursday. Oh no, that's the second night of TakeOver. So prelude makes sense because prelude and. Okay, there we go. That's why it's called Prelude. Duh. Yeah, I have nothing else for NXT UK. Kind of a nothing show. A little bit of peace moving here and there. Nothing that stood out other than the Trent Seven match, which possibly might have been my favorite Trent Seven solo match in a long time.
Yeah, no, look, I thought that match was really good.
Yeah.
And if people are just looking for a good match to pop on, which I think I've made it pretty clear, I'm a big fan of wrestling should be a thing where you could just pop on a good match and go, hey, who's that guy? I've never seen any matches of this Trent Seven before. This is a great opportunity to turn. I know for a lot of people, like, oh, I've seen Trent Seven, you know, a number of times, of course. Sure, he's had a nice long career. But, you know, if you've never seen Devlin before, great match to see Devlin before. And if you've never seen Trent Seven before, great match to go and see Trent Seven.
Speaking of Jordan Devlin, he made a trip.
What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7 so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived, and really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys, reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Over to Florida. One of the better segments on this NXT show, which had a couple of really good segments, and then everything else kind of lousy, I thought.
Yeah.
But I love him and Escobar just being two confident jerks who are not going to give in to each other. I love that. I think Santos Escobar's promo work wasn't... It was very sports entertainment, and I get that that's what they want to do with it. You know, because he's kind of like...
This is where the Legado del Fantasma, stuff falls apart. It's because there's not enough of a character in Escobar. The entire character, such as it exists at all, is here is this group called Legado del Fantasma, and it's gotten in the way of Escobar becoming somebody. If he was somebody the way Devlin is somebody, this would be white hot.
Yeah.
Because Devlin, when I say somebody, Devlin's a fully formed character. One of the great things about NXT UK, and you see this, it benefits everyone, including like people like Sam Gradwell. Because there's a very hands-off approach, all of these guys have gotten to really sort of mature into more fully formed characters than the average character on other WWE products. Dave Mastiff is a more fully formed character than who's the dude who is standing behind LA Knight this week? Bronson Reed. Kind of an analogous comparison.
You ripped my jacket. Oh, jeez. What are you doing?
Yeah. He's got no flavor at all. Dave Mastiff has layers. He's tagged with The Hunt. He's been aggressive. He's been mean. He's been nice. He's been funny. Lots of layers to that guy. Tyler Bate, Trent Seven. Dudes with layers. Jordan Devlin, dude with layers. We've seen him be funny. We've seen him be very serious. Even Noam Dar, it's not always like ideal, but like Noam Dar, dude with layers. The problem is NXT US, Legado del Fantasma. Like, what's the difference between Joaquin Wilde and Raul Mendoza?
Nothing. They've done nothing with them. They're red shirts for Santos Escobar. Which is ridiculous.
And the only difference between Santos and those other two guys is that he's not the two guys.
Yes.
He's the one guy in front of the two guys, but he also doesn't have any personality.
Other things I liked. Walter coming in, here for that. Loved him destroying Ciampa. Thought that was nice.
Yes.
Obvious, I think Thatcher and who else was off from Imperium? Alexander Wolf. I think they were part of the protocol.
Right, they were part of the protocol, so they
couldn't come in there, but it was a nice little angle.
No, it actually advanced in a way the Ciampa and Thatcher stuff. It was good because it forced them to take a step back from all the damn talking that they were doing the week prior. That was too much. There's too much talking, too much feel, emotion stuff, and like,
I'll when take you real want to emotion. Create doubt, Jesus.
No. But the emotion we're playing with right here with Thatcher and Ciampa is doubt. And with doubt, less is always more. More does not create doubt. Yeah. More creates less doubt. So I liked this because you're not sure why Thatcher's not there.
Yeah, I like this. And I liked, man, I hope they don't break up Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. I would much rather her be in the tension promo. Yeah, I don't want the tension. I don't want that. Look, I know WWE does not believe that real stars don't have friends. It's the most ridiculous thing. But having Dakota and Raquel as a unit has helped both immensely, in my opinion. I think Dakota Kai,
they are covering up for each other so nicely. Dakota doesn't need a lot of covering, but Dakota's getting enhanced with the pairing with Raquel, and Raquel is getting enhanced in part because Dakota is doing a lot of carrying and covering for Raquel so that Raquel doesn't ever get overexposed. And it's been really good, and I have concerns that if you just break Raquel off from Dakota, you have... They're different wrestlers, but they're also similar enough in look and in WWE's eyes that I'm just bringing up this comparison. You have like a lesser rear wear play.
I think if you could break off Dakota and send her to the main roster to be Bayley's new bestie, that would work.
Oh, that'd be fun.
But
that'd be fun.
You got to get her out of that. You got to get her out of the entire division because otherwise she's dead at this point. This was her rebirth. This is her ascent.
I'm here for Bayley and Dakota feuding, being friends, and then feuding.
I'm like, cool with that, too.
You sold me on this angle. No, you sold me on this angle. And that sounds really fun.
Well, it was funny, because when she came in, it was like, oh, you know, they got another Bayley on their hands with what Evie/Dakota was doing at that time, and it'd be funny to see which one had to turn babyface, and maybe they tried out babyface each other at one time. But overall, I mean, like, I loved the match with Zoe Stark. I did. I liked Dakota in this because Dakota is just a rag doll, and she's just taking these
Zoe Stark's
bumps.
A hell of a seller, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zoe's selling is really good.
They did the HBK tribute spot, though, too, with the Shelton Benjamin one with the super kick. I enjoyed that, you know, because HBK trained Zoe Stark. I think if Zoe gets a little bit more promo under her belt, I think they got something there.
No, I really do. There's certain stuff that I think she just gets selling, which is going to hold her in really good stead. She's got the look, and yeah, if she just gets better at promos, no, she's a star, dude. She's a high level talent. And you said AEW like looked at her in past.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I don't quote me on that. I'd have to look it up offhand. They passed on a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure. Stark will be one. I think they'll be regretting. I think she's good, if I'm right on that.
I think she did like a dark match. I think.
She's good. I'm a big fan. You want me to keep going here?
No. I'll tell you what I didn't like. This Karrion Kross Finn Balor thing. Number one, can we get a suit on Karrion Kross when he's doing these types of angles instead of being a guy in a t-shirt? Because that would make him more badass. But everything with Ms. Fallen Prey over there and...
everything happens for a reason.
You know, the weird bump...
the weird bump where, like, Balor is going out, but he is not ever really babyface before Cross attacks her. He doesn't try to help her up or anything. Like, we never really let Balor be a nice guy before the Blindside attack.
Okay, let me correct myself. TNA had her, or Impact okay. had her, and I think oh. passed. So I was wrong on that about AEW, and then she went to... then she signed with NXT, but yeah,
definitely a mistake for Impact. Yeah, Zoe Stark, high level.
But yeah, there's no reason for these two to team other than this is the only trope they know, because we'll get to that in the main roster, where it's like the two people feuding for the title have to be a tag team to go up against the tag team champions, and you're like, why? There's no reason to do this. You know, yeah.
Well, and it's boring too. The mysticism stuff. It is hiding a fairly glaring plot hole, which is like, is Scarlett really able to see the future and really does understand how everything is going to happen and therefore does actually know the outcomes of these matches? Or is she just like making all this stuff up? And if she's doing the latter, like, to what end is she doing that?
It's a shout out to the late Yaphet Kotto from Live and Let Die. She's the Jane Seymour character.
Yeah, tarot cards.
Or
just a shout out to Isla Dawn, whose gimmick she's stealing.
That's true too. We're gonna have tarot cards on a pole match with Isla Dawn.
Isla Dawn needs to come over and join up with Scarlett. They need to get a third person. They can all be the Fates.
They could be the Coven. And they'll all do like the witches from Macbeth. Oh, the Scottish Plague.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I was going for, you know, like
something wicked this way Atropos, comes.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, draw the thread, cut the thread. Yeah, it's not good, but if you're gonna have multiple tarot card readers, they ought to work together.
You would think that Karrion Kross would be savvy enough to know that, you know, if he has a second at ringside, she might get bumped accidentally. It's such a lame, and it's right in their wheelhouse type of thing. I just went, okay, whatever.
Karrion Kross and Scarlett are moving very quickly into the Fiend level of bad angles. Like, I like Karrion Kross in the ring far more, of course. I think he's a great wrestler. But I think the actual angles and the writing for Scarlett is nearing Fiend-ish levels.
Yeah, and you brought up LA Knight. I don't care. Oh, he ruined my jacket. Whatever.
He ruined my jacket is weird on a couple of levels.
This is his debut. What are they doing running an angle on the first thing instead of just introducing him and having
him
beat
LA Knight should have just... He needs to get a win. We need to know what his finishing move was, and I think we got that. But then Bronson Reed comes out to antagonize LA Knight, and LA Knight was presented mostly as a heel, or as a heel in that match against August Gray. But when Reed comes out and breaks Knight's jacket, it's like, doesn't that make Reed the heel?
Well, no, because LA Knight interfered in Reed's match last week, so therefore in this convoluted...
Oh, okay, that's right, that's yeah. right. That's right.
I got nothing else for NXT, do you?
Kyle
O'Reilly and Adam Cole. Did you think anything highly of that?
I think the cops angle was a bit goofy.
Yeah.
And Regal cutting that promo where he's like, I hope the law drops all the charges so that we can have real justice here in the NXT.
That's not how law works.
That's not how life should work, actually.
People press charges.
I hope we can have
the
vigilante.
The law is going to be the law. What are you talking about? It's just...
Yeah, no, there are a lot of problems with that promo. But, yeah, other than that, I was... Oh, Danny Burch separates his shoulder.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how they deal with that issue. I guess maybe have Pete Dunne and Lorcan as your tag team champions.
Yeah, you do the Freebird rule. Why not?
Yeah, that... Actually, that instantly creates angles and matches and pairings and stuff. And you have two workhorses in Dunn and Lorcan. And it allows Lorcan and I guess Burge too to pivot out of these goober characters that they've been and move into more serious champions.
Well, let's move over to the main roster then. Fast lane preview. Let's do some non-fast lane observations first. Number one, someone needs to tell Shane McMahon that Boston University is not an Ivy League school. tell Braun Strowman that. This feud is death to me. I don't like
my entire life I've been bullied.
You're bigger than everybody. People, punch him in the face. What are you doing? Look,
you have done promos where you have said your entire life you were bigger than everyone and you bullied them.
Yeah.
So like, I remember this especially because you were heel and these are the promos you would do. But no one believes looking at this man that it was bullied. I'm not even saying that he might have been, for all I know. But no one would believe that just looking at him. And they did nothing to get over that. They didn't show pictures of him
Chris,
as a kid.
Chris, hurt what? People hurt people.
No, I want pictures of him from when he's like 10. And he's like the kid with like the brace crutches and like braces and like big, like this is young Braun Strowman pre-WWE. I never thought that I would ever be taken seriously by anyone. I didn't think I could love.
I want a made up child that it was his best friend. And I want a montage of pictures like him holding a brick crying while there's a broken window and the other kids running. And goes, that was my friend Pete. He was a smart kid, but he'd always pick, like that one time he threw a brick through Mr. Johnson's window and handed me a brick and then ran and then blamed me for it. And there was a time that somebody farted in class and it was him, but he blamed me. What a stupid feud this is.
It's so dumb. It's not resonant with anyone.
51-year-old, whatever
that's
he
the
is.
Other thing is, you brought back, you're talking about the 51-year-old Shane McMahon. I was thinking about bringing back Hulk Hogan, and the whole business argument for that is to appeal to your demographic. Your demographic who are 50-something-year-old men. Who do we really think these 50-something-year-old men are looking at Braun Strowman and really see the childhood version of themselves in Braun Strowman?
Small tear as he really goes down their eyes.
I miss my wife, and I also remember that.
I remember when I was in high school and I ran for 3 touchdowns. Yeah, and then Shane's jumping off the top through a table because Daddy doesn't love him. 51-year-old
they
man.
They gave away so much Shane on this, too. And beyond giving away so much of the Shane stuff, it diminishes the Braun angle. Because how does Braun get his heat back at this point? Annihilate Shane? And then what does that get Braun? Does that finally prove that he's not stupid?
I beat him. That means I'm the smartest man alive.
Shane McMahon's lying lifeless in the ring. He's like, who's stupid now?
I now want this to be some sort of weird twisted version of Flowers for Algernon where Braun becomes like a super genius. he becomes like the smartest man in WWE.
But only for a while. And the angle ends with him becoming dumber than ever and also sad.
Me talk good at one time. Me no longer add.
Me miss book.
Me read good time. Some.
Flowers for Algernon, by the way. Really great book. Really well written.
That's
fun book.
Deep cut right there from old Hawkins.
Yeah. No, and way better than the movie. Like, don't watch the movie. You got to read the book. No, because the book. It's so much of the story is actually in the advancement and the degradation of the writing style throughout the text.
I want to see him at this peak intelligence level where he just becomes so self-aware. He's like, no, I'm not going down the ring for that match.
I want it. He becomes world champion. He's like the unified champion. He's a genius. And like Well, you see, Michael, one of the things that's been a problem in this company for many years is we haven't had a sustaining champion. There's been a lot of issues when it comes to booking. He just keeps going. 10-minute genius promo identifying all the problems in the company.
You know, the problem here, Michael, is character motivation. You know,
long-form storytelling, Michael.
Let me say these words. I don't really... Do I really believe what I'm saying?
You gotta let people just go out there and say what they want to say.
Let me take a look at your rundown sheet here. Now, would I really, would a man of my intellect, like, go full Bockwinkle on this thing? Yeah, I think everything else can be covered in the Fastlane preview, with the exception of the greatest video that they have done in years. That made actually main roster television. I'm not talking Raw Talk or SmackDown or Talking Smack. That promo for King Corbin versus Sami Zayn was absolutely fantastic comedy. Tip of the cap to those writers who came up with that. Because I laughed my ass off at a few nobody wants to see and them actually admitting it on television.
What is frustrating about that on some level is it gets back to the, well, who did that then? And does that not confirm Sami Zayn's whole theory that there is a conspiracy against him?
Yes, the weird thing is there's actually a conspiracy against him.
Yes. And so it was a problem in that sense, because that always is out there, and he's sitting at the desk, and he's like, there's no conspiracy against Zayn, and...
Sammy.
No, they're obvious.
Sammy, it's
there
me, Braun.
Is.
It's me, Braun. Let me explain this to you. He pulls down like lights. Now, on this overhead projector, you see the ways that this company has been screwing you for years. And just have Braun be the great explainer to everybody about it. And just explain to Sammy, here's the actual conspiracy about you. You were right all along.
So, I'm with you. Like, in a vacuum, the joke is funny. Like there's nothing wrong with the joke in a vacuum. But, given the story that they are telling, it was the exact wrong time to tell this joke. And this joke is super counterproductive to the actual story being told at present time. So, in that sense, I'm against it.
And we're going to get Kevin Owens falling off of something big, probably the pirate ship, onto Sami Zayn at some point. At Mania.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, you got to Fastlane Up?
Fastlane. I sing it like Sega. Yeah, I've got it up.
Okay.
I've got it up.
Let's run it down and give our picks here.
So, first we have Riddle versus second-in-command in Retribution, Mustafa Ali. Singles match for the United States Championship. Who do you got on this one?
You know, I think an Ali title run would be really a lot of fun. What in the hell are they doing with this Riddle character? What?
He likes scooters.
He likes scooters.
He likes scooting.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense what they're doing with this kid. I got Riddle somehow pulling it out, and then maybe Retribution splits up to be non-factors elsewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel as though...
Because I think Retribution's getting like a beat down by Hogan during a vignette or something. Because they really haven't... That's the only thing Braun can do. Let me explain to you why Retribution is so bad.
No. You could have Hogan and Titus beat up Retribution in ultimate Vince wrestling porn.
That's what they're going to do. That's what I think they're going to do, yeah.
They were. So I think on that point, I think Ali wins this match. Because I think Ali gets the train back on the tracks after winning the title. And we've been teasing the dissension among the ranks here in the build-up to the switch. So I think Ali wins. That's going to be my pick.
Okay, I got Riddle.
Which gets Slapjack one step closer to the belt.
Okay.
Next, we have Nakamura versus Seth Rollins.
This suit again. What is with the purple man fading into oblivion suit? It looks like a power sprayer went over his suit this week. Last week he looked like a carpet from a 1970s playroom. This
week. Yeah. Last week is I got this from Richard Dawson's closet. This week is I got this from Prince's yard sale. It was quite the look.
He's wearing the glove, but the glove doesn't mean anything. It's like I'm gonna make this aesthetic choice. It's gonna make me an edgy. I'm the villain who wears one shoe this week. I'm one shoe.
Yeah, no, his heel character is I dress like an asshole. That is his heel character.
I wear dress shoes with no socks. Look at me.
Yeah. I look like a dick. That's his character.
I think this is action movie 101. The friend of the main guy dies, and so Cesaro will vow revenge. So I think this might.
Yeah.
This could possibly steal the show. I think this might.
No,
be
I think this
good.
Could be really fun. I think Nakamura could turn in a really fun performance here. Like really good. Nakamura could have a lot of fun being the. Like Apollo Creed character,
yes.
In this feud for Cesaro.
If he dies, he dies. Like yeah,
yeah. I'm into this. I'm very into this, especially if it means no more Murphy and that this is the direction we're taking the storyline in. No, I mean seriously, I thought Murphy was a mistake. Also, like Rollins counting the number of times he was swung was stupid. Like I don't care. This gets it a little bit more real. Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon.
No, that's not on Fastlane, I don't think. I thought that was...
No, it is.
It is?
It is, according to the Wikipedia. Yeah.
Hey, the Wikipedia is wrong, but... Okay, let's assume it's true and pick anyways.
Okay. I got Braun Strowman winning.
I think Shane wins and we get a different... We get a stipulation match at Mania.
Shane wins and says, "I respect you, but you're stupid." Or,
yeah. Well, you see, Shane, that doesn't make any sense because I want brain surgeon, smartest man in the world, Braun Strowman.
I'm out here to shake your hand. I want to tell you, buddy, I respect you. You're dumb as hell. And I proved that. But you proved to me that you're tough.
Well, Seth, that's a hypocritical statement you're making right there that really doesn't compound to the bounds of sportsmanship. Okay, yeah, this feud must continue until Shane gets thrown off of something very high as well, I think, at some point.
And next is a little bit of history. You like history? I like history. You want to make a little history here? We got the first intergender match on WWE pay-per-view. Never before. You're squinting like that's not a real fact. It's the realest fact you've ever heard. And Alexa Bliss and Randy Orton
will be
plowing ahead and making this bold new frontier in the decade. This is certainly the first intergender match on a pay-per-view this decade. And what a match it promises to be. Who you got in this one, Jeff?
I think the fans are going to be the real winner of this match.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, geez. We're gonna get him puking up oil or whatever the hell it is. At some point, she's going to morph into the Fiend. Or who wins? Nobody wins. This match is going to suck ass.
I try to forget about the Randy Orton Alexa Bliss like Fiend stuff.
Charlie Caruso comes down and hits Randy.
Yeah, I guess Bliss wins because the Fiend does something and that allows her to pin that Orton doesn't win.
This is a complete setup for Mania. All these matches,
yeah.
So you know. You're going to get a lot of screw jobs, a lot of story finishes, and all these. I think somehow Alexa Bliss wins this.
Yeah. Boy, what a kadoozy of a match it promises to be. Next, we have Big E versus Apollo Crews. I got to tell you. If you don't have a lot of time in your week this week, make sure you set aside a little bit to go and watch this fantastic promo on SmackDown. B- between Apollo Crews, who's really finding his voice in this new character, and Big E Langston, who has found several voices in his character.
At once. You know,
At once, yeah. They flow freely in between. You remember the Faces of Foley? Imagine that, but with voices. It's the voices of Big E, and he does three or four of them, sometimes in a paragraph.
Voices of Big E is a different podcast network that we're going to have to...
Yeah.
I did not like this Big E promo compared to last week. I know that that puts me in a minority of a lot of people.
People liked this promo?
I didn't buy him being angry, but some people did over on...
No.
I did Fightful's post-SmackDown show tonight, and there were people that liked it and thought I was wrong, and I'm just like... Did you buy he was actually angry for a moment? I mean, I like that he said he was going to kill
him.
No. That was kind of cool, but other than that, no. Until he got into the golf cart, I hated this, because also Apollo...
Yeah, the part when he crashes the golf cart and starts attacking Apollo was great.
Yes.
All the talking and stuff was actually quite lousy.
Apollo
and Apollo's character
losing
sucks.
Was losing his accent quite a bit there, the thing that he's doing. Look, if we're going to play Nigerian prince or Nigerian royalty, we got to get rid of Corbin being royalty, and we got to go all in with Apollo being royalty and really buy into the character, because this ain't it.
Yeah, Apollo should have bodyguards and stuff.
Yes.
I mean, I don't like this character, so I will start with...
I don't either. I'm uncomfortable.
Everything I am saying is contingent of if we have to do this, which we should not be. So put that in the parentheticals as we move into this segment.
Black Wrestling Twitter has disagreed with me. They say if you're offended by this, go ask some Nigerians. And I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to opine on that anymore. I'm just uncomfortable with it. I really am. I think it's.
Yeah,
I don't think he's finding the line.
I don't think he's finding anything.
Or yeah.
I don't think he's finding anything. So
he's gonna rip
I don't
off,
like
he's gonna
the
rip
angle.
Off Sami Zayn of all his bank account.
Yeah. So either he is part of like an unstable part of Africa, and that's why he's got these like militia dudes flanking him like they did the 1 week, and then they walked away from that, or he's just gonna keep kind of riffing aimlessly on stories that his grandfather, who is royalty, is. And here's the thing, kind of subtext I was thinking about as he went down that kind of pathway in his promo today, is the subtext there is people come over and they go, oh, well, you know, in my country, I'm a king. Well, here in America, you can't even get an intercontinental title shot. So, like, what does that say? Is that really that strong of a narrative? This is very wrongheaded. And Apollo Crews doesn't need all of this and never needed all of this. And moving him and pushing him was really not all that much harder than have him have a really good match with Big E and realize that he needs to turn heel in order to win the match.
Mm-hmm.
And they could do that without either one of them working in these accents. And I think Big E's accents get in the way of him actually delivering real emotion.
Yeah, he's getting into... I don't want to go down this path, but yeah, I don't like... I'd just rather he be angry. Be straight ahead angry as opposed to... It feels like somebody gave him a stage direction to play up that anger along with the almost the preacher voice type of thing. And it's not a nice mix. I think this match ends with a no decision, or somehow Apollo finagles his way and cheats his way into the title and it's stripped, and this becomes the multi-person match, possibly a ladder match, and I think Zayn and Owens are folded into this as well, and that becomes the match for Mania.
Interesting. I think that Apollo wins.
Straight up? Fair? Or
straight up.
No, he has to cheat. He has to cheat because he's a heel.
Yeah, yes.
All heels
must
cheat for some reason, but yes.
Or we go to like a non-finish, and this becomes your stipulation match for Mania. It's not necessarily a ladder match, but maybe it's like a last man standing match or something like that.
See, I think he wins, but I think he gets stripped. I think it's one of those things where it's like, well, now Adam Pearce is going to step in and say, no, you didn't do whatever.
Well, I don't really understand
how about this?
Power structures work here on SmackDown. So
double pin.
Ooh, The old double pin finish.
Yeah.
But if there was one that was actually destined for a legitimate change, or the two that are destined for actual legitimate changes would be Ali and Cruz. So I think one of those two guys is winning, maybe both. I'm going to go ahead and say Cruz wins.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next.
And then we get to Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan with Edge as your special guest enforcer here in this match. A prickly, testy Edge rocking a Shadow Man themed tights.
This is one of the weirder ways to build a Mania match. And I get the feeling they've decided it's going to be a three-way now. In Mania.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With Daniel Bryan taking the fall. I don't understand why Edge is angry at Daniel Bryan. Because he's facing the champion. He decides he wants to face the champion, but it's like he has no blood feud with Roman Reigns. There's no, you know, so okay, so what? So Daniel Bryan gets a title shot first and he wins the title. Okay, I'm facing Daniel Bryan. Perfect. But this is way too heelish, and I don't want, again, a lot with Christian, I don't think legends who are pushing 50, and I say that with a tear in my eye because Edge and Christian are my age. They're 47. I don't think they should be playing. I don't think Edge should be the ultimate opportunist. I don't want to see him screw Daniel Bryan out of the title and then have to build a feud with Roman, or because they never build three-way feuds well. They never build this feud and then this feud and then this feud correctly. It's always he beats him, he beats him, he beats him, 50-50, 50-50, 50-50. And it's much like the tag team match on SmackDown tonight. So I get the feeling Jey Uso comes down, Edge takes out Uso, and then at some point either an accident happens and Bryan loses, or Edge purposely decides he wants to be in Roman and Daniel Bryan should have never stuck his face in this, and so we're going to screw him, and now we have heel versus heel, kind of, and Daniel Bryan in there.
Yeah, I think we're building to a three-way match at Mania. I don't share your animus towards Edge being a heel. I think, and it's the same thing with Christian too. I just think it's a better presentation, to be honest, than having them be a babyface. The one thing I don't want is the cool heel thing. But like the absolute worst case scenario would be either Edge or Christian ending up in the Chris Jericho zone of being the cool heel where they become like a heat suck. That sort of thing. But you won't have to worry about that because you're not in front of audiences too much. But I think that Edge screws Daniel Bryan out of the win. I think there's a visual point in the match where Bryan can win the match, is not able to do so. Michael Cole basically gave away the finish for this match too, where he said that the special guest enforcer will have some sort of official capacity in the match, so like they can count a pinfall or not count a pinfall. So I think maybe Edge counts three on Bryan and counts a fast three. That could be the active hand here.
Or Roman has his feet on the ropes and Edge counts three.
Edge still counts the three.
Yeah.
No, but either Edge doesn't count when he should, or does count. However, when Edge inserts himself in his official capacity during this match, he screws Bryan out of the match. Like, that's how this goes.
Okay. So we're in agreement. Roman wins this by Edge chicanery.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And then we have Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. The intrigue, the dynamics, the depth between Nia and Shayna. Beautiful.
Let me get the positive part out. I thought Asuka coming down and murder-deathing Shayna was fantastic and creepy, and I don't think they played it, because I think this was an Asuka heel turn, to be honest with you, to put up against Charlotte, possibly. Because Asuka having way too much fun killing Shayna, and this is the first time I think we've seen Shayna in peril face, which I thought was great. That screenshot of her about to go in that buckle with like the fear of God in her eyes. That was something to me. I enjoyed that. But yes, bicker tag team number one, bickering tag team number two, tag team number three that nobody gives a crap about inserting themselves in this feud between Natty and Tamina. Yeah, go ahead.
I hope Reginald ends up becoming the manager of Natty and Tamina so that he can continue to expand his reach inside the division.
Well, you know, Natty's interested in wine.
Yeah, my boy Reggie Bechdel, he is there.
Bechdel. That should be his last name, yes.
Yeah, the Reggie Bechdel.
Bechdel test, yes.
Yeah, Reggie Bechdel, baby.
I could, God, you can see so much crap here. And it just is going to be crap because they played it up even more tonight with Nia accidentally hit, or Shayna accidentally hit Nia, and then Nia didn't save Shayna. And then Bianca came up there, okay, let's go, Sasha, you can do it, you can do
it. And then Sasha comes out and, like, doesn't want to go ringside.
Yes.
And, like, and Sasha, between Sasha, Bianca, the issue continues to be, like, who am I supposed to actually like here? I think it's Bianca, but they're both just, like, I wouldn't want to actually know either one of these two characters right now.
And I think Baymella probably comes down at some point during this match, too, because they got nothing to do. So, you know, and Reginald's down there, so Carmella comes down there. Yeah, I don't care. Nia and Shayna are going to retain, in my opinion, because I think Sasha accidentally hits Bianca, or Bianca accidentally hits Sasha, and Sasha walks off.
Oh, I think Sasha I think Sasha walks off on Bianca. And I think the only question is that a heel walk off, or is that just a miscommunication?
It's a confident walk off.
Yeah. Right. Which
she's showing her confidence right now. That's what that is. Good lord.
This pay per view has like real stinker
has
level
suck potential. It does, and
yeah,
there's going to be
serious
a lot of
suck
people
potential
because it's all going to be storyline setting up for Mania, and I think people are going to be mad at that. And there's no reason to do this other than to test Peacock out to see if he can handle the bandwidth.
But this is going to be a where's the wrestling type of show, I imagine.
Yeah, other than maybe
Big
Shinsuke.
Big E and Apollo and Shinsuke and Seth better deliver like hell.
We have one more match, right?
No.
I thought we have Drew and Sheamus?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Drew and Sheamus. That's not here on my Wikipedia version of it. But, yeah, I think Drew and Sheamus is on this. That should be a good match.
Lashley's coming down. Lashley's going to come down and destroy Sheamus at some point, I think. Maybe. No, he already did it on Raw for the most part, so he doesn't have to here.
Sheamus continues to have good matches right now. Like,
yeah, I mean, he's a hard-hitting guy, so it's interesting to watch him still. But yeah, is there a stipulation on this one?
I don't think so. I think this is just they're just having a match because like that's how they ended Raw, where after Lashley,
so they went from a street fight to a straight match. Hold on.
Yeah, because there's nothing to this because Lashley beats Sheamus. And, like, Sheamus is in the ring. Drew hits that claymore on Lashley. And then he's staring down Lashley. He's like, WrestleMania, WrestleMania. And point at the sign, because that's what you got to do.
Yeah,
and then Sheamus stands up. And, like, right as they're ending the show and they have, like, the little, you know, like, credit thing up there, Drew McIntyre goes, we're going to have a really great match here at Fastlane.
It's a no-holds-barred match.
No-holds-barred. So, like, you're allowed to fight outside the ring match.
You punch guys in the penis and fish hook them and...
Fuck yeah.
One hold bar or something like that. Can't do an Irish whip. Because Sheamus gets sad about that.
Nakamura needs that so he can get the low blows back in.
Yeah, this is...
That was AJ Styles.
By the way, what'd you think... They switched the tag team titles off the Hurt Business to get to Omos and AJ. To me, that's part elevated. We got to elevate Bobby. How can we do that? Let's get the titles off his flunkies so we can beat them. But also, the spectacle
of Omos. I don't
even
think they thought about... They never even thought about the visual of like the whole Hurt Business out there with...
The titles.
If you were actually going to... That also really kind of gives away the hand for how WrestleMania is going to go, right? Where, like, obviously Lashley's going to lose the title. He's not leaving Mania as champion because they didn't even care about the visual of the Hurt Business having all the gold. They didn't care about making that like a key pivot point.
Yeah, and I could see him turning on the Hurt Business for losing. You know, like they try to interfere at some point. He gets mad at them. Oh, now Bobby Lashley's a big star. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had honor. He was ultimately a champion who wanted to fight with honor, and the Hurt Business was getting in his way. Maybe presaging him becoming a babyface, which would be
boring. I will guess that at the end of the year, we will be calling this probably the worst pay-per-view of the year.
Yeah, it has real potential.
I hope I'm wrong.
If it ends with Shane McMahon standing over Braun Strowman saying, "You are very stupid. You are very, very, very stupid." Maybe it'll be the best show of the year.
Boston University's not in the Ivy League, you moron. Like that.
Stupid.
Oh, the so Randy Orton. Stupid. The Randy Orton. Stupid. Like he did to Kofi when he screwed up that. Yeah. Probably to Charlie when she was late to an interview. Anyways, again, if you all would write to Peacock and say, hey, why not interview old candidate number 1898977? Just a nicely worded
1-8-9-9-8-7-7.
No, that's my candidate number in the database. You know, I'm in there. You can follow me at CrapGame13. You can follow the show at Shake Them Ropes. We are part of Voices of Wrestling. You can follow Chris at DWATG. I try and remember the acronym every time. DAWTGF, but no, DWATG, short for Don't Worry About the Government. Chris has his own Patreon, which you can pay for to hear his thoughts about politics. Chris, tell us what you got this week.
Yeah, so Don't Worry About the Government's free. If you want to just check out the show, you can check out the show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify. We have a video feed up on YouTube, too. You can go and check it out over at YouTube. And if you want to see video versions of the show and support the show, you can do so by going to patreon.com/DWATG. That'll get you the video versions of the show as well as the audio versions. And, like, you know, once a month I try to slide in there and do, like, an extra cast or something. I think I was delinquent on that in February. Or maybe I'm delinquent on that in March. But one of these 2 months I've been delinquent on that. So I'm going to work on that. And real quickly, I guess as we're ending the show here, I want to end on this note. Because it does sort of involve our community. This week, there was a rather horrible mass shooting in Atlanta, Georgia, involving people who were targeted for the offense, I'm putting that very much in quotes, of looking as though they were people from Asia, and they were targeted as such. And in the wrestling community, we have, over the last several years, had a real issue at times, especially from certain segments of the crowd, towards bullying and harassment and targeting certain Japanese talents. It wasn't all that long ago that Hana ended up committing suicide due to cyberbullying by people who, you know, said all sorts of horrible sorts of things. And I know that I don't have a particularly large platform here, and I'm speaking at this point specifically for myself. There is a person in this community, James Cornette, who I have respect for in his professional wrestling career, what he did with the Midnight Express, one of my favorite tag teams. But he has, on his show, on numerous occasions, but as recently as this past week, said offensive, racist, denigrating comments about wrestling talents who, whether or not you think they are very good in the ring, there is a way to make that point without saying, I'm not even going to do impressions of it, but one of the people he was targeting was Maki Ito, and making what is known in wrestling business as English sort of comments with regards to Maki Ito. And it's not acceptable. It has no place in wrestling commentary, and we can all do something to clean this crap up. This has no place, like, in my dominion, and for my part, Jim Cornette, stop, and if you think this stuff's all right, you're wrong.
It's not just that Jim Cornette does this stuff, it's that his legions of Twitter followers who are very devoted, like, if you run into people, I don't get into the arguments with them, but, like, even online and in message boards, his stuff's not gospel, people. You don't have to go and stay and parrot these same things and engage in it and go after people like that. Now, apparently, I'll give an update because I am aware of this. Maiki Ito says that her Twitter was hacked, and that's why she shut it down. I think that's a very gracious excuse because I saw some of the comments that were going towards her. You don't have to be a jerk. Don't be a jerk. People do that for clicks. People do that for downloads. People do that for hot takes. For hey, did you see what he said on this on the internet? Be better than that, man. Because especially after the death of Hannah Kimura, we know that social media can destroy people. We know that people's self-worth can go through that. We know that people dig up. I mean.
And we know what happens when media figures choose to use their platform to target individuals in certain ways, too.
Yeah.
And all these things are of a piece. They all lay together. And so, yeah, like, look, here's what I expect. I expect Jim Cornette to either never hear this and not care about it or look at this and go, that guy looks like Seth Rollins, and completely just disregard me and toss
geeks
me to the side. What I would love to say at some point, Jim, if you really wanted to surprise me, if you saw this and you really wanted to surprise me, is, you know, I heard that long-haired twerp, and he actually had a point on this, and I'm not going to say things like what I've been saying with regards to Maki Ito anymore. So, if you really want to do me, if you really want to shock me, do that.
Yeah, well, if you expect graciousness from him, he might be hosting WrestleMania next year.